Let us pray. During this Lenten journey, we, of course, Lord, focus on your cross, what it meant for you, what it means for us, and what it says about the evil in the world and the suffering that seem often to be all too much a part of our lives. Give us hope, bring us healing, help us to be patient when things do not go the way we wish. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. There are many in our culture who would prefer just to do away with Lent. It grates against the dominant motif of our culture that wants to believe that all pain can be quickly taken away, all suffering pushed aside, and all failure overcome if we just try a little bit harder and have just a little bit more faith. Many non-denominational churches, including a few Lutheran ones, have done away with the cross entirely in their worship space. It's too morbid, and it contradicts our officially optimistic society. And even we Lutherans, inheritors from Luther of the theology of the cross versus the theology of glory, which I talked about at some length in my last sermon, even we Lutherans have taken Christ off the cross because we'd like to bypass Good Friday and put most of our emphasis on Easter. Right now I'm reading Douglas John Hall's book on Luther's theology of the cross called Lighten Our Darkness, in which he analyzes how Christianity in North America has neglected this essential theological theme because the church has tended to only take on the questions for which it thinks it has a good answer. This may seem fine at first until, to quote Hall, there comes a point, however, where reality overwhelms this process. Problems refuse to be silenced by answers. The problem that is beneath the problem surfaces. The conquering positive becomes impressive only in theory, or when carefully sheltered from the winds that blow. Life itself throws up too many negatives. And so Hall states, Christianity on this continent has never been known for its readiness to take on overwhelming human problems. One example being, in his opinion, the problem of evil. We may have studied tragedy and the plays of Shakespeare, but we have never wanted to believe that life in North America could actually be tragic. However, he writes, what has been happening increasingly in our midst is that the negative experiences to which we are subjected are so numerous, so various, and so complex that they overwhelm every attempt at resolution. There is a recurrent and irrepressible sense that the problem has not been taken seriously enough. Hall wrote those words in 1976. Are they any less true today? Could they possibly be even more true today? We try to whistle through life in the dark, but we cannot avoid what is right around the corner. Some of it may be very personal. You lose your job and you just can't find one, or you find one and it only pays half as much as what you used to do. A friend is dying of cancer. A loved one is raped. Suicide claims a dear friend. A family member or friend is killed in war or comes home without limbs and PTSD. Or depression overwhelms our joy and possibly even our desire to live. And then there are the social evils we witness day after day in the news. Beheadings and bombings and shootings in schools and movie theaters and malls and tourist sites. The list goes on and on. The crosses of suffering have not left our world. Easter did not take them away forever. They exist in our lives right now, and if not now, well, we fear that evil may be just around the corner. That is the reality of the world. No one would deny that. And the world is looking for an answer, and if not an answer, then at least some kind of a response. For Luther, Jesus' death on the cross does not take away the evil of our lives in this world. Rather, it is God's way of identifying with us in our suffering. The incarnation of Christmas is really a theology of the cross, even though we don't think of it that way, but it is in it we proclaim God's will to be with us. And that's what we mean by the word Emmanuel that we shout out at Christmas. It means God with us, even in our suffering. But what about the resurrection? Doesn't that take away the cross? Doesn't it empty the cross? No, it really doesn't. The resurrection gives us hope, but it does not take away our pain or the evil that is around us. It doesn't make light of how difficult life can continue to be. As Hall puts it, what makes Luther's theology a theology of the cross is that not in a roundabout manner a theology of glory, is that the gospel is for him not the good news of deliverance from the experience of negation so much as it is the permission and command to enter into that experience with hope. In Luther's own words, the glory of Jesus consists in the fact that he makes his disciples on earth willing and capable to bear the cross after him. Barry Lopez has written these words, "All that is holding us together is stories and compassion." This may seem like too little, but really, the more you think about it, it is a lot. Let me give you an example. You hear that you have a friend in the hospital who has been in a terrible accident or dealing with a serious disease, and you try to figure out what you should do. Your first impulse is not to go. For two reasons. One is we hate to see people we love suffer. And secondly, we don't know what to say. And when we witness suffering, we think, well, surely we must have something to say. But you know, actually, it's a good thing we don't know what to say, because if we start talking, we're probably going to say things that are unrealistic or too trite or just untrue. Now, if you are able to overcome these fears and actually go to visit, what might happen? Well, believe it or not, when we are hurting, there's nothing we need to do more than to tell our story. What we are feeling, what we are experiencing, what we are going through, and we want to do it without interruption. We want to do it without judgment. And most importantly, we want to do it without being given advice. And you can show ways of showing your compassion as well as just being there to hear the story. That may not seem like enough, but it is actually everything. Love and presence are far more healing and hope-creating than unrealistic and idealistic attempts to explain and answer what can't be explained and what cannot be answered. Annie Lamott takes up this issue in her book, Stitches. She writes, "I asked a wise friend, is there meaning in what happened in the slaughter at the Sandy Hook School in Newtown? And he said, not yet." She continues, "We have to admit the nightmare and not pretend that it wasn't heinous and agonizing. It wasn't a metaphor. It was the end of the world for those families. My understanding of incarnation is that we are not served by getting away from the grubbiness of suffering. Sometimes we feel that we are barely pulling ourselves forward through a tight tunnel on badly scraped up elbows, but we do come out at the other side, exhausted and changed. To heal, it seems we have to stand in the middle of the horror, at the foot of the cross, and wait out another suffering where the person can see us. To be honest, that is not fun. It's the worst, even if you are the mother of God." Mary didn't say, "Oh, he'll be back in a couple of days." She did not know this. She stood with her son in the deep unknowing as he died. We know from the scriptures that Jesus really did suffer, and that he, like all of us, longed to avoid that pain, as today's gospel relates. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. And so he submits to that suffering because of the mission he has accepted to show his love to the whole world and thereby attempt to overcome the divisions that keep us apart. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. But evil remains in the world. There's no way to avoid it. And we have no simple answers that will magically take away all the pain. But we do have hope. It's a realistic hope. Not a hope that denies what is going on in the world, but a hope that keeps us going in and through our suffering in the promise that one day, near or long, healing will be ours. Maybe not yet, but one day, we trust, yes. Amen.